Kabbalah year of 1873, from Kansas. See, from Fort Scott, Kansas.
See, I always think of it that it came from Illinois.
Well, A.B. was born in Kentucky.
Yes.
And then he married Joyce Hopper in Illinois, see, in 1858. So they probably, they might have lived there and then moved to Fort Scott in 1868, 10 years after they were married. And then in 1873, that's where they left from Fort Scott. So
yeah,
they
see,
lived,
that's what I don't know. Don't
see, they lived there for 5 years. Well, see, I only know that because it's
written down.
Written down.
So then they took the wagon train to LeGrand. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they came down. I mean, they came down where the highway is now.
Mm-hmm. And they settled in Cove?
Yes.
Well,
I don't know. Well, out on the top of Nibley Hill.
Yeah.
It's the only place I ever knew they lived.
Says he kept adding until the farm stretched along 7 miles, Highway 83, north of LeGrand. See, I'm not sure if he lived anywhere else. I don't know.
The old ranch, the house is gone now, after where Mama married and came to first. But they lived here quite a while.
See, I'm not sure where the original house was, where A.B. lived first.
Well, don't you think it was the old house that burned out there where Long Ears lived? At the top of the hill? Because Mama tells about...
But see, is that where... See, I'm not sure that would have been the original house, because see, originally, didn't he have ground... Because it, you see, it says, in 1874, he bought a section of land and was the beginning, he added to the acreage until the farm stretched 7 miles along Highway 82 north of LeGrand.
That did.
Which, that's the Imbler.
Mm-hmm.
But then, see, but I don't, you know, I mean, I don't know that.
But you see, there used to be two houses out there, the old house and the newer house, built at the top of the hill. And so I just suppose that's where they lived.
It might have been. And then he got all the ground
there. Now it's called the old ranch.
Yeah, well, that's probably where it was then.
So was it your parents that built this house, or built the original house that was here?
Oh, this is when Mom and Papa got married.
Okay, yeah, that's it. But okay. Your parents built this house.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this, okay. So the ranch
because
here.
Because they lived, while they were building this, you see they lived down there where, on this road, in that little house that used to be there. I can't even tell you where it is. I know where it is when I go by. It's
not there anymore.
It's not there anymore.
No.
And that's where they lived while they built this one.
Yeah.
And she said she was so thrilled to move into her own house.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So what are your first memories about living in this house, or in the original house?
I was born here.
Were you?
The babies used to be born at home.
Back in the day. Mm-hmm. And what year were you born in?
1918.
So you're just a young thing then.
So, I don't remember, and I just remember playing in this yard. And as I said, my favorite story is, Marion loves this story, I was riding my pony around the house. Of course, I probably was about 5, wouldn't you say? And once I went around, and Mama was standing out the back door, and she says, "You do not shove off for the men." See, the men were all come in for the dinner. They would clap when I'd go by. So that's about that. Because I learned right that at the young age, you don't show off for the man.
And you're the youngest of how many children?
Five
children?
And there's 20 years between my sister and me. We were a man and the two boys in between.
And your mother, she ran the house? She didn't work outside the home?
No.
No?
Oh, no, she's here. Because they farmed and they had men to cook for. And the laundries were huge.
I can imagine five children.
And I mean, I even grew up helping do that a lot.
And how was the laundry done? Was it done with machines or was it the scrub board?
No, she had an old machine that was a big thing and it kind of went around like this. And they boiled all the clothes in boilers. And I remember how it was all set up. The machine was here and then the stove was over here with the boilers and the rinse tub was here and another rinse tub was here.
Sounds like an all-day job.
Oh, yeah.
So, so there was cattle on the ranch, I assume.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And how big of a ranch? How many head of cattle do you remember?
I wouldn't have any idea. But you probably know that better than I.
One of the larger ranches, is that correct?
All I know is Grandpa and Grandma gave each grandchild 1,000 acres. And to start out with.
Was it 1,000?
I thought it was. How big is that with 1,000 acres, please?
Well, that'd be big. So I don't think it was that much. I think, let's see.
Let's see, my grandparents made into the grand eventually.
Let's see.
And did he farm, did your father farm also? Crops?
They all did.
What type of crops?
Wheat.
Wheat, mostly?
And cattle.
Okay. 640 acres. Which is that A.B. began by giving each of his grandsons 640 acres on their 21st birthday.
Well, that's different than 1,000. I'd always heard 1,000.
Yeah. Well, so I was thinking it wasn't quite that much because, see,
that would go too far.
See, that would be the original that what Daddy got, see, too, you see, and that was why that was what he got directly.
Mm-hmm. When Grants was down here.
Yeah.
And Virgil's was up on the hill.
Right.
The hill where you come down.
When you come into town.
See, that's our land on both sides of the highway right there.
That's where it starts.
What starts?
Yeah, because when she talked about the old ranch,
that's where it was.
Where that place that's out on the top of the hill, I think it says, I don't know what it's called.
Right.
But there's a sign right there that, do you work at Safeway?
No, actually I work for Unicom Phone Service.
Oh, I got
you. I know what I'm saying.
Oh, because it's Bill McDowell. He's the pharmacist at Safeway.
Sure.
Well, that's where he lives.
Okay.
And then the place she's talking about, when they talk about the old place, it's just actually almost on that road, but across
the highway.
Was it on this side? Was it on the...
On that side of the highway.
But the barn was on that, the other side.
Yeah, because you used to turn there, and the road went right by this star barn that burned, that was so big.
Right, but that was your barn, though.
Yes.
Okay, so...
And that was a nephew that lived down there at the corner. That was Papa's nephew.
Which corner?
Well, you go up...
Well, right.
When you turned right, went north.
Yeah. To see that instead of that road where it makes that corner, it goes around there. It used to go in front of the house. It used to be square. And so then that was where, and so then the house was on the south side of the road. Okay. But that was where, when she talks about, and if she said the old place, that was where it was. And then I don't know, when did it burn? You
I don't remember. But they said it was a horrible fire when that, there was a big barn. My grandfather raised those big horses, you know.
Oh, the Percherons.
Okay.
Were that what they, or the Belgian?
I don't know. They have beautiful horses, I guess.
And so how, you're, so then you married. What, how old were you when you married?
Oh, I was an old lady. I don't know, what was I, 28 or something like that?
Oh. Okay. And who did you marry?
Eugene Winters. We went together. I mean, we were married 13 years before we divorced. But my life didn't amount to anything, so I don't.
Oh, yes, it did?
I don't dwell on that. Because I always had home to come back to.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mama was getting old enough, she had to have help.
So you moved back home then and helped
her? And you did when I mean, Bob Stewart. He was a doctor in La Grande.
And you had a, so you had a practice.
And her brother said, don't marry him, Aunt Maxine, he's an alcoholic. I said, oh, no, he isn't. He was. Should have listened to him.
And was he a general, just a general physician doctor?
No, he was a specialist.
I hear nose and throat.
Huh?
I ear, nose, and throat.
Yeah. Dr. Booley.
Okay, and how long was his practice up and running in town?
His?
Yeah, how long did he practice medicine?
Oh, I don't know until he died. Did he retire? I suppose
I think he probably did.
But I didn't want to. He wanted to build me a new big house, and I didn't want to go through furnishing that and all. I didn't want to move in where he and his wife had lived.
Mm-hmm.
So we fixed up one of the apartments on 4th Street. Fixed up pretty nice, too.
And how long were you married to him for?
I really don't know. I think it was about 5 years. But my life doesn't really matter.
Yes, it does. That's why I'm here to talk to you.
You're not supposed to say that.
Right? You're not supposed to say that.
Right.
So
she liked the remembering the
ranch.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about the ranch.
Yeah.
Actually, in you attended high school in Cove, is that right?
No.
No?
In
La Grande.
My sister married Dr. Ross.
Okay.
And I lived with him. But Virgil went to La Grande too. And my sister was a teacher. She taught in Union for a little while, and she was in the grand system, and she taught many, good many years. Finer Ross Common. And then she married Dr. Ross.
So you graduated from La Grande High School?
So my brother. The other older boys wanted him to go to a little bigger school because he's a football player. And he did get a scholarship to the University of Washington.
Oh, wow.
And then he was playing ball up there. And the streets, you know, they have the grass down the center.
Mm-hmm.
And he caught a foot and slipped and his arm and hit a car that was going by. And it cut the nerves in it.
Oh.
So he couldn't play football anymore, so he quit school. He's the only one that didn't graduate from college.
And what, did he move back to the ranch then?
Oh, yeah. And he never married me. He always lived here.
So did you live here with your brother then?
Mm-hmm. Till I got married.
When did you move back to the house? Back to this house?
When did I come back?
Mm-hmm.
See, there's those dates again. I didn't hardly leave. Decided. When did I divorce Bob? I don't know.
See, I'm not really sure. I think that's when I was. When did you get married?
I know that when I left him and came home, Virgil said we were living in. We fixed up those Bona Camp apartment that night.
Yeah, and I do know where you lived there.
No, I don't remember the date at all.
Oh, no, that's
see,
okay.
And I'm not really sure either, because it would have been in the mid-60s, because I think that's when I was gone to school.
I kind of think it was too. And Virgil said, when I left Bob, I left him in Los Angeles. He was drunk as usual. And so I came home on the train, and Virgil said, would you like to take that trip to Portland with me? He was on the racing horse, the Oregon Racing Horse
Commission.
And the commission, I can't say it right. And so he had to go down for meetings, and so I went to Portland with him.
So when you moved back to El Grande, what did you, work or did you just?
No, I never worked any place but here.
But here on the farm?
Mm-hmm.
And what were your jobs? What were your duties?
Just helping with everything. Clean house, and help cook, we can, just like any woman in a home.
By the time she came back, her mother, because she had had a stroke. In about 58, something like that.
I can't remember dates at all.
Well, because it was a couple years after the house burned, because that's what kind of caused all that, wasn't it? And we did find...
What did cause the house to burn?
What's the matter?
No, I was just, no, I was going to get that little book that I thought of, the, where is that?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, because that was the one I thought, because we were talking about when the house burned. And so I thought, well, if we want to know anything, we'd probably find it in here.
I read all that last night, but I don't remember.
Okay, she asked you when the, how the house burned. We did find
what,
out.
What caused it to burn?
We don't really know, but we just thought there was a hard wind. There were two possibilities, but we never talked about the second one because you can't accuse somebody unless you prove it, you know.
Yeah.
But the man that worked here, he had been caught smoking in the woodshed, which was connected to the house the day before. And he really got bawled out about it. And there was a terrible wind, so we don't know if the wind with the left, where it started, all the wires came in over the old cellar, which is a stone cellar, and but it was open over the wood chip. And we don't know whether he had been smoking in there or the sparks from the wind on the wiring.
But because I always thought it was the wiring, because didn't it start up by
the cellar?
On this side, right up here, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that was kind of what I had thought that was the start of it.
I think it was. That's what we always said.
That it was the wiring question.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was the house was built in 1901 or 1900.
So,
yeah, because the picture in there says the house in 1901, that's why, and that was when it had first been built, and so, isn't that right?
I guess so. I don't know.
Well, I'm thinking that it was built in just about 1900.
No.
Well, because Aunt Vina wasn't born here.
No, she wasn't. She was born down on the other place.
Right, and she was born in 98.
Mm-hmm.
And then Uncle Grant was born in 2.
Wasn't he?
So, I think he was born here, and so that's why
I think all the rest of us were born here.
Yeah, because he was born in 1902, wasn't he? And so that's why and that picture in there says 1901, and that's why I'm sure that probably kind of in that period of time that I'm thinking
I
it was...
I forgot about that picture hanging up there. You gave it to me.
Well, yeah, it's with the Century Farm sign, and so we got an old picture.
Oh, okay.
It's just right in here on the wall. You might
want to look at it.
Yeah. Look at that.
Are we confusing you?
No, not at all.
Yeah, thank you. Very disjointed. I don't know how you...
Well, the transcriptionist, she's amazing. She will make everything...
There you are.
The woman that does the transcribing, she puts everything at least in order. If we jump around, she kind of sets it up, but it all makes sense. So.
So anyway, it's been an interesting life.
Well, I'm sure it sounds like it's been very interesting.
And you see, we still farm land, but what's that name now?
Geckler
name. You see, we still farm land up there. And on the corporate place, which we still farm, I remember when Mom and Dad Annie went out to see the triplets that were born out there. And I went too, but I wasn't allowed to go in. Because they just were born at home. And they didn't want me to carry any diseases in or anything.
What kind of changes have you seen in Cove in your lifetime? Has it changed tremendously?
Well, it's growing bigger all the time. I went to school right up here to Shanghai, this little white building.
Was it a one-room schoolhouse?
We all went to school there.
And how many years did you attend school here in town?
Well, then I went to the Grant.
Mm-hmm.
I lived with my sister and I went to high school in the Grant. And then.
But when did you go in? You went 8 years here.
Yeah.
Okay, 8 years.
At Shanghai. Yeah.
Is that building still standing?
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. It's up there.
It has a sign.
I think they've taken the sign off of
it. No. Well, I don't think so, because they re-put
another one up.
Yeah, so people would know
that it was in school.
I remember, though, he went to school. Well, I think they all did, didn't they?
Everybody did. Mm-hmm.
Shanghai.
And how many students were in class with you?
There were never more than three, but most times just two of us. Berta Parker and myself, and then Jean Kogler, she was in my class. But I think one teacher went, they held Berta back so we'd go to school together, and I think they sent her on one head, grade ahead of me. But I don't think there's ever more than two, might have been three or something. Two's all I remember.
Two's all you remember? So was there, I'm not very familiar with Cove right now, was there a grocery store?
There was. There used to be a row of brick stores for the post offices. It was across the street and down that Orchard Street. There were about four stores along in that row.
And one was a grocery store? Is that right?
Yeah, they had groceries. And they had dry goods and things like that too. And there was one at Mr. Blank, he had a shoe store. I mean, not sold shoes, but he took care of them. And the post office was down there. And down that Orchard Street. And over there, don't go. Then we went to we went to the Hallmark where that was the grocery store for years. Where the fire engine thing was. It was built up there. Then Mrs. Gardner built the one across the street. And I'm not sure when that road brick building burned, but.
They burned?
Yeah. Cove burned twice.
Really?
Because then down that was this big hall where we'd go to programs and everything, Maccabee Hall, and it burned.
What type of programs? Like concerts and?
Oh. I don't know, they just had programs.
You had plays and that type of community events?
Mm-hmm.
And did you attend church in town?
Yeah, went to the Methodist church always in Cove.
In Cove.
And it burned.
Boy, Cove. It's burned a lot.
And now the Methodist
church. In 1965 is when the Methodist church burned.
Yeah, because she was going to be married there.
Oh.
And they had to go down. She was married in the Episcopal church, and it was so small. But we all got in.
Yeah.
We were kind of crowded, but...
So were you very involved with the Methodist Church? Did you teach Sunday school?
No, I just waited tables for me to raise money.
That's good, though. So were you involved with the women's club then, or like the women's groups at church?
Well, you might say I was. I always worked in it. And we served a lot of... They built on a little extension, and we used to serve the school teachers and a lot of banquets. We had the mother's and daughter's banquet and the father's and son's banquet and helped with all those things. Always worked there.
Oh.
I remember before they built on the extension, and there was a huge big stove in the back, and her father, they'd have their class back there. And one year they went outside, it was so nice weather, and somebody went by, and there was the boy, young man's car, and that was me sitting in the middle. I'd gone out with Mel. She just sitting there and said, with my hair ribbon, they could see my hair ribbon. I said, they all sat in the circle, and I was in the center. Isn't that silly?
It's funny. We all did that stuff when we were little.
So I think I was kind of spoiled, don't you?
I think we all, I know I was. I know I still am.
So, anyway, I always remember that because somebody went by and saw me. And my minister lived right across the street. So I always worked in this church.
Always busy with the church. And have they rebuilt the church?
Yes. It's farther out now. I don't go to church now. She's just the organist. But I'm too lazy now. Takes too much effort to get ready.
But when it's early like that, it's...
Oh, it's hard.
Yeah, hard to get there. So
what other stories do you have about the ranch? You've just got to be full of them.
Well, I have moved cattle all the time. And, you know, we take lunch to the fields for the men at noon sometimes. That was later, though. They used to come in. I think there was 14 at the table when the men were all working, especially during hay. And I started waiting tables as soon as I could reach up there.
And what type of meals did you cook? Big meat and potatoes and...
Yeah, noon. And some of them lived in those, what they call it, where the wash house was. Well, like
the bunk house.
The bunk house. It was a bunk house up above. We usually had two or three living up there. They were here all three meals.
Mm-hmm. And were they here all year long or just during?
Some of them were, because they helped milk cows. We had a hired man almost all the time. Then they got so they people didn't have cars then, you know, mm-hmm. Everybody didn't. So they'd come and stay and go home on weekends. Sometimes. It was a busy place.
Sounds like it was a busy place.
Because you had milk cows too, didn't you? And so
had what?
Did you have milk cows?
Well, no, just a supper. You know, just like it is now.
But didn't they milk cows, though?
Oh, yeah. We usually milked about 7 or 8.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why the hired man was here most of the time.
And I remember when Melvin worked here, where he lived in High Valley. And he would walk down, see, he didn't even have a horse to ride. Mm-hmm. And we often had a hired woman, but she usually was Mama's, one of our Mama's cousins. So, you know, it was just kind of all family.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like the family still is quite large.
And tell about, like, because, like, the family dinners, I mean, these are some of the mm-hmm. things that I know are really, you know, like how on Sundays,
oh, yeah, there was always a crowd on Sunday. And when we first got a radio, the boys loved to listen to the games, you know. And Mr. Slater was a relative, and he was a lawyer in LeGrand, and he and his wife, they'd always show up on Sunday dinner, and then the boys couldn't listen. We'd eat down in the dining room, because Mrs. Slater was deaf, and she talked awful loud.
Oh, did she?
They were welcome, but they came so often for Sunday dinner.
But then didn't, like, the cousins and...
Oh, yes, they all came here for dinners, holidays, Christmas, Thanksgivings. All the dinners were here mostly.
Just because it was bigger, because it was the larger home?
And Mama was the oldest of her family. And we socialized more with her family,
mm-hmm.
the Grays, than we did the Conleys as far on us than on the social business. You know, because my grandparents, I sat on his lap, that picture in there. I can remember as a little girl, Papa would take him to town. Girl, send me a picture. Do you see it? I have it. It's on the dining room table.
Mm-hmm.
But,
so both sides of the family then were in this area?
Oh, yes. The Grays lived down there under Mount Terrace.
Okay.
Most of them. And they had the, and she was a Jasper, Grandma Gray was. And we had Jasper reunions. How many years did we have them? 50 some, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And it all, my mother started all up. And we go to, and we had a big crowd of those things. So we would meet at the,
Immigrant
Springs, because some of them lived in Walla Walla. And on that side, the ones that lived down in the Portland area, they would usually come up and stay. But then the Walla Walla people could
drive home.
So we went to the springs up there, so that it's halfway from where everybody. And we had those for years.
It's very interesting. Was your family involved in politics at all in Cove?
No, your brother was the most. And your father. I don't think we ever went away.
Not a very political family.
They were always on the school board things and things like that. But not otherwise. This is a political year, isn't it?
Boy, isn't it. I'm tired of it, but...
I said I'll be so glad when that's over.
I think we all will be.
Because it seems to me that they've gotten kind of dirty this year.
Tends to go that direction.
And I don't think that speaks very well for...
I agree. I'm trying to think of what else to ask. I'm just sure you're full of... stories.
We went to the mine camping every summer. Rode back, horseback, camp. Put them in a camp. Took our things on pack horses.
Back in the, that sounds like fun.
And we had different places. One camp back there, just above the horse ranch, is called Conley Camp. But we camped different places. We didn't always camp there, but that. And the folks got older, that got to be the most convenient.
Mm-hmm. Easier to get into. Mm. Is it easier to get to when your folks were older?
Yes, and then we could go down and call out from the horse run if we needed to. And then my brother, Virgil, he learned to fly, and then he got, so he flew him.
Oh, wow.
And that was kind of nice. He'd come home and get a bath.
And then... that's kind of how then they started going in, and then the hay crew, because back then, I mean, this was even though in the 50s,
mm-hmm.
that the, because there were probably at least 10 boys that would come and work during the summer. And then kind of at the end of the hay season, because back then, you know, you had the little bales, so you had to mow and rake and bale and buck bales, and everything was, you know, done by hand then, even though it was, you didn't use horses. But then at the end of that season, that was about when we went into the minum. It was usually between haying and harvest.
Yes, it was.
It was kind of that week in there. And then the boys, the hired boys, would go in also, and then they would put up the hay on the airstrip.
Oh.
And so that was kind of their vacation, because they did that for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm. I'd forgotten that.
And when we would go, we'd be camped up at wherever our camp was, but then the boys, they would stay at Red's, and they would help Red do the haying. And of course, then they had to kind of do it with, they had like a horse. He might have had a little tractor in there. I don't think so, but it was a mower with horses. And so the boys always, yeah, they always thought that was fun to get to do that then too. That was kind of part of it, because
and they picked huckleberries. Dale was good at having Mama clean huckleberries and wash them.
So we went in, and they went for a long time, and then I remember going in. So, yes. So
I remember one time we left kind of late, and we didn't get there, and we were going up above to the upper camp, and we laid out on the mountain off of the Little Minum River, and sometimes they'd go up there and cut over when we were going to camp up above the dam, the old dam, and we laid out that night. We just tied the horses to the trees, and I woke up, and there was Virgil's head over against old Buck's leg. It scared me to death. I couldn't say anything because it might startle. You know, I'll never forget how scared I was.
But the horses were always pretty good, usually like that. He was a horse you'd had for a long time, so probably knew he couldn't move that
right
way.
And he's the one that you had to have a strong bridle on him, because he would run away. He liked to race, that's what he did. Old Buck did. And I was kind of a bit, am I trying to say? It doesn't matter, you don't want me to know. They're real severe.
Mm-hmm.
And I had ridden him. I was the princess at the roundup one year. And I rode him, and I had to have this strong bit, because when he jumped the fence and everybody was screaming, he just stood on his hind legs. We jumped, and I was trying to stop him, and he just reared up. Everybody was screaming.
Now, see, you can tell her about being on the Pendleton.
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah, I know.
Being
on the roundup.
When were you that?
I don't know what year it was.
How old were you, do you remember? You must have been a teenager. Early 20s?
Probably was 18.
Yeah, so she'd have been in the 30s.
Because they were, those girls were just a little bit older. Merrill went over, and I had to stay over there. And
it was before you went to college, though, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
I can't even remember.
Probably in about 1936, maybe.
That's when I graduated. I graduated from Stevens in 39. And I graduated from high school in 36, I do remember those.
So maybe it was 37. Was it the next year that you were on the court?
Probably was. Graduated at Stevens, that was just a 2-year school. Then I went to University of Washington.
And where was Stevens at?
Columbia, Missouri.
Oh wow, you went a long ways to go to school.
It was a girls' school.
Is it a finishing school?
Mm-hmm. And I just loved it.
Tell her why you were going to go there.
I don't know why I just read that up, but I don't know what I was reading. I don't know what I was reading the other day.
Something I was reading, the reason you wanted to go to Stevens was because they had a great writing
program. Yes, I like it.
And so she wanted to learn to ride
English style.
Oh my. And do the jumping.
Mm-hmm. And I hated it. I go up, and when it was raining and the runner go around a little thing in the barn because I've been riding after cattle and riding around here for years and in the mountains and I was bored to death.
I bet you were planning to ride all proper.
I only stayed in that class one semester.
But long enough.
Yeah.
But she still has friends that she communicates with and has taken trips with
there.
That when she went to school there, so.
Because her dad was kind of the one that urged me to go to New York with him sometime. You know, Stevens went to New York. I mean, that group did.
Yeah, they took spring vacation trips to New York.
And Mary said, well, you're going to go. I think my brothers had a lot to do with what I did. So anyway, it was a lovely family to grow up in.
Oh, it sounds like it was wonderful.
Everything was fine except my husband's. I didn't get along with him.
Oh, well.
And another thing they always like to do were the picnics.
Oh. Yes, for picnic.
Well, just
all
at the Catherine Creek.
Yeah, we went to lot and on the 4th of July we'd go and make breakfast.
How big were those picnics? How many family members did you?
Well, these up here at the Jasper reunion up at the, they would have about 100, wouldn't they?
Yeah. So.
And we went for over 50 years.
Wow.
Mama was the secretary.
Your mom sounds like she was a busy lady.
So,
keeping all you kids in line.
See, just you knew that I got this from that girl.
Mm-hmm.
And here's, he was a cousin, and they had all these children.
Was it them that had 9 children?
You said it.
So, yeah. Did your brothers stay in the area then?
Stay here.
Yeah, your
rest
of the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did they all ranch? Were they all part of the ranch?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
My brothers, yes.
Yeah.
Their grand always farmed separately. And the oldest boy. But the Marilyn Virgil always farmed. I guess my dad had already passed away, hadn't he? And then they always farmed together, and they farmed Mama's too. And now they're farming mine.
Now they're farming yours?
My part.
So the land remained in the family then?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's like a, it's what we call it, Conley Farms.
Mm-hmm.
And so then everything is all,
and then now you farm even what was France.
Yes.
See, that came back into the family too. And because his wife said, why did she leave me leave anything to you? Well, I said, that was the original acres. So.
Mm-hmm.
it was divided, his part was divided up, the fact that he had gotten from his grandfather, then that came back in because it had been original Conley ground, and so then that part, it came back in here, and then the part, then what he had bought on his own, then it was
left to his wife,
and then he had a kind of a partner that he worked with.
Okay.
So.
That worked for him for years, and he was a relative too.
So now, this, there's about 5,000 acres.
Okay.
Is what, with the farm ground, and there is some timber ground. So that's what.
Now see, she knows those things, I don't.
That's what it consists of now. Right now, there, the underproduction is about 3,600 acres.
Okay. Keeps him busy.
Yeah, my husband and son are doing that now. So, anyway, I kind of missed the canning. We used to can so much.
What did you can?
Oh, all the fruit and apples, all garden out there. And, you know, we canned corn, string beans. And
did you do jams and jellies?
Jams and jellies and everything like that.
So there's really...
We really worked hard in the summer to have everything on hand.
When you fed so many people, everything, you were pretty much self-sufficient, mm-hmm. because you really, you had the, you milk cows, so you had milk, which you made butter
and cheese.
You did that, and then you had beef, and so you butchered that, and then you pigs, with the big garden that you had, everything was, canning was a
little old building that's right out there. That was full of canned stuff in the winter.
And it was called the Apple House.
Yes.
And
it had boxes of apples in too that weren't canned, but that one wall was solid with canned things.
It was kind of like a cellar,
mm-hmm.
so it stayed
cold,
kind of just cool at a temperature that way.
And then now at this house, like the old cellar opened off of, it's called the family room now, but I still call it the porch because it was a porch, and it went into the cellar, and it had one wall, and just, she always kept things that, like the fruits and things in there.
So you basically were just buying dry goods from the grocery store, your flour and sugar.
Flour and sugar and things like that. So really, because back then, like you say, where you were cooking for that many people, and you know, kind of like you were saying, like what you did, by the time you cooked breakfast, because I remember talking about breakfast, because everything was done kind of on
steak and gravy.
Yeah, on a wood stove.
Uh-huh.
And so it was steak and gravy and biscuits.
Yes.
And you did have, where you had hired men that lived here, then they would come and eat. So by the time you did that, cleaned up from that, maybe did a little bit of baking, then pretty soon here came...
Lunch crew.
Your lunch, which was probably...
It was dinner, really.
Yes, then it
dinner.
Was...
Breakfast, dinner, and supper.
And so by the time you finish that and clean up the dinner, you had like a couple hours to just kind of
rest,
and then it was time for supper. But then supper was usually smaller.
Mm-hmm.
It would be soups and things like that, kind of sometimes left over from dinner.
So when did you find time to do the laundry and clean the house?
Every Monday was laundry day. And then it took several days to get done and done.
We have to give her a bad time about the laundry. Because She did laundry like that until just about...
Since I got my stroke.
Yes, which is probably about 6 years ago. And finally we said, enough with the wringer washer and the boiling coil and the tubs, because it was getting way too much for her. I said she was going to have a heart attack when she did it, and it was very difficult for the help. They almost refused to do it. So probably about 6 years ago, she bought an automatic washer and dryer.
And you know, it kind of bothered me because I didn't feel like my clothes were clean.
But we told her they were clean, and she looked just as good as she did before. And it was a whole lot easier.
On everybody.
On everybody. That's right.
I completely. Sure, yeah.
I think they work great. I can't imagine boiling my clothes in and out.
Well, as I said, I think back when cotton clothes, but now you have so many
mixes
that probably, but you know, like the sheets and the towels, that was what. But anyway, we finally said that progress has arrived, and she didn't really have a choice. I think we finally just said, this is the way it's going to be.
It did change me.
It's like my grandma, a little set in your ways.
And I was raised the other way.
That's right. How did the Great Depression affect your family?
Well, as far as living, it didn't make much difference, did it?
Well, because for you...
You can't ask me those things. See, she asks me these things, she forgets that I'm not that old.
And I'm sure you were self-sufficient as far as food was concerned.
Yeah.
But did it affect people buying your cattle or your crops?
Well, yes, it all did. But it seemed like life just went on here the same, because we had to be a little more careful about buying new equipment, you know, and everything like that. Didn't have any extra money to spend. That is for sure.
I think it probably affected them like it did most people of that generation. You've always been very conscious of what you spend. I think sometimes from the outside, you know, we can see this.
I can't even, what were the years exactly for the Depression?
See, in 1929, Black Monday, that's when the market fell, and this country didn't come out of depression until after World War II was completed.
Right.
And then we finally got the...
But that's why I can't figure out how come they sent me away to college. Because, you see, that was during the depression.
Mm-hmm.
It
would have been after, yeah, because see, you didn't go until the 30s.
I think that maybe the boys even don't want a little money to send me.
Yeah.
I say loan it to Mama. They did everything for her anyway after Papa was gone.
And when did your, about what year did your father pass away? Was there a...
I don't know that either.
How old was he? Was he a young man or a...
No.
Older?
I think he was 65, wasn't he?
See, I'm not really sure, but...
I kind of think he was.
He died in 1940.
Let's see.
No, we've got your list here, don't we?
It's right here.
Of your parents.
I mean, this is the one that she copied off.
Okay.
Yeah, March of 1940.
He died in 1940.
Yeah.
Right. And see...
You were born in 65.
Okay, 1865. Now see, it says here, see, that was also the difference. He was 32, and her mother was 19.
13. So there was a big age difference.
So there was a fairly big age difference in...
They were 13 years, I know that.
Yeah. And so he was older when
she copied off this, off of that yesterday. Marilyn did. No, Vicki did. And so, because they left Virgil out of this one. So she filled that in.
It's a big family.
But you know, our social life, it just went on the same. I mean, because our social life was just family dinners and camping and
family things.
And the working in the church and, you know. Virgil's the only one that, he got hurt at college, so he's the only one that didn't graduate.
But then everyone pretty much ended up back working on the ranch.
What?
So most everyone ended up working back on the ranch.
Uh-huh.
What about your sisters that married? Did they stay in the area?
And LeGrand. She married a LeGrand doctor.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So you had one sister?
Uh-huh.
And
I lived with them when I went to high school. Because I guess it was just kind of personal. She had Virgil. But then when I lived with him, she was already married, wasn't she? Must have been.
Well, I think so, because you talked about the living there on M.
Yeah, and to see that they were married. And that was their first home, and then they built a new home.
And this was the sister that was, there's a 20-year difference between the two of you?
Yes. And they all went to Whitman. Brian McGrath, Merrill, the oldest one, they all went to Whitman. And Virgil had a scholarship to Washington, and then that's when he got hurt, so he quit.
Mm-hmm.
Cut the muscle when he fell into the moving car. So then I went up there. And then I got sick. I was sick and had to drop out, and I went back. She said I could go if I didn't live at the sorority house, and I lived where I had my own bedroom and so I could rest. And I was there when the war started.
Did you come? So, but you graduated from there, you said.
Mm-hmm. And Mama came to graduation. But I remember we were living at Mrs. Cooley's when that war started. I mean, and we were, all of us kids sat around on the floor in the living room and had the television on.
So that was, what, 42 or 40,
something like that.
When did?
Pearl Harbor got bombed in 40, December 6th of 44?
42, I think.
42.
Yeah, because
if I was resting in the morning, the 50th just happened.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, no, it's been like the 60s, isn't it?
Because it was the early 40s.
Yeah.
Because my grandfather fought in World War II, so.
And Webster came home. He was sent to the South Pacific, been gone 5 years. He was so thin. You remember how thin he was? And he was all
like
malaria and so he's all yellow, you know.
Well, I was one.
You were?
Shelly does this to me, sees you. Now remember, I was either not born or
else too young to remember.
It was just sad to see him, you know.
Yeah.
And he was so glad to be home. And we looked out and there, Jim and me, they came and stopped for dinner again.
Sounds like this was quite the place for meals.
The kids all came home for dinner for as soon as he came, you know. When Webster got home, they all got together that Sunday. There was Jim and him coming in. They were coming in. Sound like they weren't welcome, they were. But she was so deaf that nobody else could talk.
wagon train. But see, I can't remember. I'd have to listen.
You didn't listen to it?
Yeah. But it kind of told about the family coming out and the kind of the beginning of that.
So that'd be interesting to know people to have.
And I'd like to say I've only listened to it once. And but now I do have, you know, quite a lot. I don't.